Welcome to the Deuce Podcast. I'm Brad.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we are in the middle of our April is the cruelest month.
Oh, it is just film series, bad.
And it is awful. You might know that we did Speed 2, Cruise Control.
Cruise Control.
That was our previous episode, but we are going even deeper into terrible, bad movies.
And Basic Instinct 2.
Why don't do it like that? That's creepy. It's Risk not just addiction. Basic Instinct 2, it's Basic Instinct 2.
Risk Addiction.
Risk Addiction?
Risk Addiction.
Oh, it's terrible. That name's even terrible. Ugh.
Risky
Is this
dickness.
A working title or what?
I think that's okay. So this movie was put together by four countries.
Was it really?
Yeah. Well, the first one was a collaboration between UK, France, and the US. And now it's the UK and the US, Spain and Germany.
Oh, God.
And they like their awkward titles with certain things.
Yeah, I guess so. Some other information about this movie is Robert Downey Jr. was set to star.
Holy shit.
But had to drop out when he was charged with drug possession. So that goes to show you, children, drugs are good because it gets you out of Basic Instinct too.
Also, oh my God. That seriously? He was going to be in this?
Kurt Russell was attached at some point but bailed out because he felt uncomfortable with the nudity. Pierce Brosnan refused to play the lead because of the distasteful elements. Bruce Greenwood was set to star but dropped out because he didn't have he hadn't been signed on yet and feared of the actor's strike. But Benjamin Bratt was banned by Sharon Stone for not being the good actor.
Are you fucking kidding me?
That's what
Benjamin Bratt Benjamin was Bratt. Banned for that.
Well, you know, whatever, you know. Some other information about this movie. Before agreeing to perform the full nudity scene, that Sharon Stone invited a friend over to watch the original Basic Instinct. During the film, Stone, by her own admission, stripped down totally naked and asked her friend if she still could pull it off.
Yeah.
That friend later puked. Okay. No, I'm just joking.
And then,
let's see.
And then she asked if they wanted
Wait,
a five
that was
or
when
one.
Those people were attached to the project when the project was originally in the U.S. But there was other people when it because this is set in London. Yeah.
Well, it was in development hell for a long
right,
time.
Right, development hell forever. It says Jude Law, Ewan McGregor, Gabriel Byrne, Javier Bardem, Benicio del Toro, Vito Morganson, and Aaron Eckhart were all in the running to star opposite Sharon Stone at one part.
See, Spain and the UK. Yeah. And,
yeah, also. Yeah, right. Right. This film won the Best Razzie Award for 2007 for Worst Picture. Worst Actress, I want to say, went to Sharon Stone. Is directed by Michael Canton Jones, who directed Memphis Belle, Doc Hollywood, and This Boy's Life. So those aren't terrible movies. They're somewhat memorable, but not really.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Andy Garcia was set to play the David Thewlis character.
Who was?
Andy Garcia.
Really?
Yeah. Back then.
Oh,
on
yeah.
That one.
Garcia? I could see that.
Thewlis. Yeah, it's kind of an Andy Garcia role, isn't it?
Kind of is, yeah.
Yeah.
He could pull it off.
He could pull it off. Anyone could pull it off with this bad script. But do you have any other information about this movie?
Not really.
Not really? That's fine. I don't know what we... Why do we torture ourselves this month? Remember
this,
I said...
This was your
let's
idea,
do
man.
April is the cruelest month.
Yeah, I know.
And we'll do bad movies. It was all my idea.
It was.
Yeah. Sorry.
So, okay, before this movie came out, I remember this. I was a young lad. when the movie came... Or the... before the trailer came out...
Oh, yeah.
They, quote-unquote, leaked... this orgy scene, and they made a big deal about how could this footage have been leaked, this long sex scene, and so it was out there, and then 2 days later the trailer released. So I'm pretty sure it was intentional that it was leaked in the first place, but there was debate about whether this was going to be NC-17 or not, and I know at one point They released like a director's cut of the film, which they were talking about, that was going to be NC-17 as
there
well.
There was never debate that it was going to be good or not.
No.
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 David Cronenberg was at one point going to direct this movie.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's...
Yeah, it's really... Yeah. I just can't believe all these people were once attached. I think they read the script, though, and they're like, nah.
Well, okay, so Basic Instinct, the first one, and you and I, we talk about noir. We like noir movies and neo-noir like Brick, Chinatown, stuff like that.
Fight Club.
Yeah, but this is, Basic Instinct is kind of a neo-noir. You know, it is a neo-noir.
Kind of, yeah, in a way.
And it has all these elements of noir to it. But this one is, like, so ham-fisted. And they were like, yeah, it's the sex. That's the part that's good.
Right.
And so they really, like, the other elements that made the first one, like, you know, palatable outside of the nudity and things like that. The things that made that good just were not... here and like the I don't know.
Well, isn't it 10 years later? Didn't that movie come out in 1996? This movie came out in 2006.
Yeah,
a little different time then, you know. Yeah. So I think go ahead.
It came out on the same day.
Oh yeah.
Ice or the Age, same weekend, right? As Ice Age.
Yeah,
I think that's what it was. And so or the Ice Age sequel, I think it was Ice Age 2 maybe.
Sure.
And they had a bit I remember on Saturday Night Live. David Spade was on Weekend Update, and he was given the
in
Weekend
2006
Update.
In 2006 he was?
Well, yeah, it was when this came out.
Did he, like,
or at least when it was when they were talking about it was going to come out. And he said it was the Weekend box office was a, was like, I can't remember how he put it exactly, but it was like a crazy young squirrel versus a tired old beaver.
Mm-hmm. That's about right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I laughed hysterically.
I don't think there's anything else we can say about this movie quite yet.
No.
Why don't we take a little break, shall we?
Yeah.
So after these messages, we'll be right back.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
What's up, home trees? It's me, Chris.
And Corey.
And Donnie.
From the More Gooder Than podcast. For each episode, the three of us pick a thematically similar movie.
Like Dances with Wolves, The Last Samurai, and Avatar.
Or Deep Impact, Armageddon, and Space Cowboys.
And then duke it out until one movie is crowned most goodest.
Three movies into, one movie leaves.
Ironically, Thunderdome was not the winner when we tackled the Mad Max trilogy.
You know why, right?
Yeah.
We don't need another hero.
Hey, where can people find More Gooder Than?
You can find us on Twitter at MGT Podcast, our website, mgtpodcast.com, and on Instagram and Facebook at More Gooder Than. We're in iTunes / Apple Podcast. You can find us on Podbean, Stitcher, Google Play, and any other podcatcher that you can think of. Remember, it's not just good, it's More Gooder Than.
And we're back.
We are back.
And we're about ready to drop the deuce on the amazing movie. Basically, we talked it up. We said such amazing things that you guys really want to listen to this episode.
And I'm going to drop a deuce hard.
You're going to drop a deuce hard on Basic Instinct 2. Now, keep in mind, people made this movie.
Yeah.
Look, this is a great cast.
Oh, the cast
of
is...
Of actors.
Yeah.
Of British actors,
mm-hmm.
That we'll talk about, and I'm just like, something didn't work in this movie.
No,
and yeah, we'll talk about that.
Yeah,
go ahead and drop the deuce on Basic Instinct 2, Risk Addiction.
Ooh,
okay. Sounds like a really bad like reality show.
It does.
Yeah.
So of course, the film opens. We're in London. And there's this, the car is beautiful. It's like a...
That she's driving?
Yeah, it's like some sort of a, it's a spider.
Skyper?
Spider.
No, I thought it was a Skyper.
You thought it was a Skyper?
I don't know. I thought she said that.
I thought he said it was a spider.
I don't know, but it was a beautiful car.
Anywho, but yeah, so she's driving.
That's what's wrong with this movie.
Yeah. And she's driving the car. Did you notice it's an American car because she's driving on the left?
Yes. Yeah.
And there's a guy in the passenger seat.
Yeah, pretty boy, whatever.
Yeah. And so he says, and they're speeding, and he just looks like he's messed up, like his head's leaning against the window.
Of course he's messed up. He's in Basic Instinct 2.
And he goes, guess what? I can't move. And she says, you don't have to. You're in a car.
Right.
And that's the kind of explosive dialogue you can expect from the rest of this movie.
Yeah. Oh, and it gets, I think it gets better.
Yeah.
When I mean better, I mean the exact opposite.
Yes.
Pretty terrible.
Correct. So she's speeding, and so she's kind of like leaning over. She kisses him. Then she leans over and grabs his hand, like kisses it, then starts masturbating with his hand.
Oh, yeah. You went there, sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, hey. So,
it is what it is.
Yeah. So she's pleasuring herself.
Was it
herself.
A stick shift?
That is what they call her, yes.
Mm-hmm. That is her nickname.
That is her nickname, yeah. And so Catherine Tramell, of course, played by...
the lovely Sharon Stone.
Sharon Stone. She's the one who's pleasuring herself to the flicking the old bean to as Sharon or as Spo would put it. So she's pleasuring herself with his hand, and right when she's about to have an orgasm, she loses control of the car. You don't know whether it's intentional or what, but it looks like it's an accident. She loses control of the car and drives through a bunch of like posts and into the River Thames or into the Thames. So you can see water pouring in the car, and the guy, like he told us earlier, he can't move. So
she's pretty drugged out.
Yeah. So she gets her belt undone. And so she starts trying to unbuckle his seatbelt, too. And it's just not opening. And he can't help, of course. So he's just kind of like dope. He's just dopey. She's slapping him in the face, trying to get him to snap out of it. He's not doing it. And so at some point, as the car starts sinking, she just says sorry and lets it go. Like, she just floats to the surface. So, and you can see the guy sinking in the car, and he can't get out. He can't move. He's just watching her
right.
swim
she
away.
She floats up. Whee!
Yeah.
Sharon Stone.
It's not like she didn't try to help him.
Kind of. I mean, she
did, but then she was like, bye. So later, she's being questioned.
At least he got
station.
Out of the movie.
Yeah, right? He's like, I escaped. So she's at the police station, and a detective... puts down, or like an assistant detective or whatever, puts down the newspaper. The guy was named Kevin Franks, a.k.a. Frankie, as they called him over there. He's a famous English soccer player.
Football. They call it football over there.
What's that accent? What's with the accent?
That was no accent.
Oh.
That was me just saying, trying to say football.
Football?
Football.
Football?
I can't do accents. We've established that after how many years that you've known me?
So he's a footballer.
Yeah, he's a soccer football yeah. player.
And he's a star, but now he's good. So when they're like, well,
those
why
people printed those really right away.
Yeah.
For 2006, they really got that news well, going right away.
But they do that. That's how they used to. They'd print files up of like... stuff they would print if you died, like celebrities.
Yeah,
and shit
but
like that.
Still.
So anyway, so they're questioning her, and they're like, well, why did you... She's like, well, I tried to get him out, but I couldn't. I'm like, well, why'd you leave him? Why didn't you save him? She goes, well, when it came down to it, I guess my life was just a little more important to me than his.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, is that a crime?
No, like, no, but the script, this movie's a crime.
Yes. And everything is delivered... with
I keep thinking
very,
the cops are going
to when it
come
came
and,
down to it, I guess us. My life was more important to me than his.
The cops are going to arrest us for just watching this movie.
Yeah,
because it's a crime.
Yeah, I would guess so.
Mm-hmm.
But it is. It's very like everything is delivered like it's...
Everything is like this. I am sexy and I will talk like this.
Oh, and she makes... She makes sure to say certain like words like a dozen times.
Certain words like the F word is very plosive.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of the script is like these shocking words are very...
Yeah.
You know, said with oomph, yeah. You would say.
I don't think I've ever heard the word cum so many times in a movie.
Did you say cum?
Cum.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, yeah. This episode's a little explicit.
Well, it's Basic Instinct 2. Well, people should know.
I know, but I'm just saying, you know yeah. It's not like, you know, our Disney movies that we're...
No. No. We really shouldn't have put this one next to Bambi 2, but...
No. So she says the word fuck like yeah. This. Fuck. I just wanted to say that after you said Bambi for some reason. I don't know why.
Oh, okay.
No, nothing like that. I just wanted to be all like...
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Go ahead. Keep going so no one can just keep going.
We can edit that, right? Edit what? No, we can't.
Okay, no one cares.
Too late.
All right.
So at this point, she's being interrogated by... Scott Leonard detective Roy Washburn, who says, okay, well, we found all these drugs in the car.
And they played by.
Huh?
Played by.
Oh, David Thewlis.
David Thewlis.
Yes.
The only thing he was missing was a toothpick in his mouth.
Yeah, pretty much.
Pretty much.
Well, and he didn't have the prosthetic teeth. Like, you could understand
like in
him.
Fargo, season 3 Fargo.
Yeah, you can understand him really well.
Mm-hmm.
But he's Roy Washburn.
Who was he in Harry Potter? He was in the Harry Potter movies.
Remus Lupin?
Yes.
Yeah, Professor Lupin.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. So, I think that was his name. Anyway, they have some medicines there. And, like, they had, I can't remember, a couple party drugs. They had like ketamine.
I don't know. They made it up. It was like DC-594.
No, it's real.
Is it real?
Yeah.
I don't know. I felt like it was all made up.
It D-tubocurarine.
Really?
Yeah.
That's
like
real.
Curare. Yeah. It's a like a paralyzing agent.
Okay.
It's a
like
neuro-
vertigo.
Like vertigo? No. No. That has random side effects to it, like hallucinations and. Things used to move the plot forward.
Yes, in Arrow.
But
yes,
in the Arrowverse, yeah.
In the Arrowverse.
So, that tubocurarine, it's basically used to relax muscles during general anesthesia.
Oh, okay.
So he's like, this isn't a party drug. Well, yeah, I could see where it could be a party drug.
Party it's kind of,
yeah. They're into weird stuff. So, it was found in her car and in his body. Which means that, which Washburn says, well, this would have stopped his lungs from working. So he wasn't even breathing at the time of the crash. So it's almost this kind of like unreliable, like, well, what we saw, was that really what happened or was that her account of it?
Okay.
And so was he dead when all this happened or not? He says that there was a man named Dickie Pep, who was her dealer. A very, very British name, Dickie Pep.
Dickie Pep?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Said that he sold...
or a porn star name.
He sold... well, couldn't it be both?
Sure.
He said that he sold Catherine Tremell 15 milliliters of DTC, the D-tubocurarine, called DTC, earlier in the week. So she says, well, either Dickie Pep is lying... Because you've got him on some other charge, or maybe he's just made up and you're just trying to entrap me.
Hmm.
So
they're trying to rally. She's trying to rally for Dickie Pep. So it's more like a Dippy Pep rally.
No.
No? Okay.
No, she's pretending she doesn't even know him.
Oh, okay.
And they're trying to leverage him to put her away. So she ends up walking, or she goes on trial. And they are like, well, let's get her in front of a therapist.
Right.
Because that way we can get an assessment of you know, whether she could have done these things, because Washburn is just insistent that she's horrible. So Trammell, she begins therapy with Dr. Michael Glass,
played by David Morrissey.
David Morrissey,
who I know from the British series. Well, a couple of things.
Yeah.
From the Red Riding trilogy.
Which, if you haven't seen it, please do.
And from the State of Play miniseries. Not the State of Play movie.
No.
That's crap.
Yes.
Watch State of Play, the miniseries. It is wonderful.
It is wonderful.
He's great in that. And the Red Riding, he's great in that, too. Yeah.
Well, Red Riding Hood was amazing. Or the Red Riding series. Yeah. So they're like, okay, we're getting her in front of Dr. Glass, Dr. Michael Glass, who he's conducting this court-ordered exam, and he's talking with her. And she, of course, is kind of evasive and, like, you know, this kind of faux noir speaking.
Oh, the whole thing is kind of really, ugh.
And honestly, I do not remember much about this conversation.
You don't, because the conversation was pretty terrible. The dialogue was, I said, the dialogue is like Mae West puked out a script for a bad film noir.
It is. I mean, it is. It's very all much like, it's all very like Mae West double entendre,
you know,
shit.
Like, but it's not even double entendre. You know how it's like, you know how like film noirs, what's so great about them is that like what they're implying
mm-hmm.
is better than what they're actually saying. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So it's like, this movie, it kind of is just too blunt about it. So it's like, oh, so is this where we're going to do it?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, okay, we get it.
Like, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Can I straddle the chair?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, we get it.
It's very fucking ham-fisted.
It's very forced.
Yeah.
Forced, and I'm just like, ugh. And after a while, you're just like, I can't take it anymore.
Actually, I think by the time that, because she kept saying, like, earlier, she was like, yeah, when I, and that's when I, that's when I come.
Yeah,
full,
whatever.
Like, what?
And you're like, oh, we get it.
Yeah.
Like, after a while, we get it. Look, and I think I like Sharon Stone a little bit more than you do.
Yeah.
I think Sharon Stone can actually be somewhat decent when she gets a good director, when she gets a decent script.
And I saw her in Catwoman in theaters.
Right.
So she's burned for me. Like, I'm done. I am done with her. Yeah, like, exactly what you said. It's like where she's like, is this where we do it?
Yeah.
And it's not even clever.
It's not even clever.
It's not even like, it's not even, because if that was Double Indemnity, they would have said something. Even if they would have said, is this is where we do it? I'd have been like, ooh.
When you watch film noirs, you're like, the reason why it really gravitates towards me is that they had to be creative in how they talked. Like, they couldn't say the F word. So they couldn't say fuck, so they just found different ways of saying it.
Yeah.
Here she's like, in the middle of, like, him, like, this session, she's like, you want to fuck me now, don't you? And it's like, come on.
Yeah.
Can't you work yourself up to that?
Yeah.
Why can't you, like, I don't know. It's like pulling back the curtain and going, oh, that's the man behind the curtain. Well, it's not too exciting. Can we put the curtain back and just imagine something else?
But I think that was, like, that was part of the...
The charm of the first movie, in a way?
There's a little bit. I mean, it still was pretty bold, but, yeah. Like, it had more that you're like, ooh, okay.
Right.
But I think part of what happened was they were just like, it's the sex, right? The sex is the part people want.
Right.
And so they just, everything else be damned.
Well, it's like, it's supposed to be tongue-in-cheek, and it's not even tongue, you know? It's like all cheek.
It's just straight.
I don't know.
Tongue-in-cheek.
That's just me. Keep going, though.
Yeah. Glass... He says that when he goes up to the judge, he's talking to the barrister, and he tells her that he strongly suspects that she's a narcissist.
Well, yeah, she's Sharon Stone.
incapable of telling the difference between right and wrong.
Sharon Stone.
And that she thinks that she's omnipotent.
Sharon Stone.
Yeah, there you go. And he said, she's like, the barrister says, well, would this happen again if she, barrister, British attorney,
yeah,
would this happen again if...
Weirdest episode of Law and Order UK I've ever seen.
Not the weirdest one I've seen. So she said, would she do this again? He's like, well, much like an addict, they have to keep going back to over and over.
Risk?
Yeah.
Risk addiction. I thought this movie would be her playing Risk for like a lot because I really like the game board game Risk.
I took Kamchatka.
Nothing like that.
She'll be safe in Australia. Yeah,
now I'm going to tell you, I did read that Sharon Stone does want there to be a third one.
Oh,
she doesn't want to be in it. She actually wants to direct it. Yep. Okay. Keep going.
Anyway.
We got your reaction.
So he says, you know, she's only going to get worse like an addict. She's going to have to get a bigger and bigger fix to keep, you know, at the level that like she wants this adrenaline. He said the only way it's going to end is with her death. And so now it's in the hands of, it's between like, the it's in the judge's hands.
Right.
And then later they determined that like the judge just let her go.
Well, okay, between that, you forgot, we were introduced to another character, the journalist guy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I can't think of his name.
That is Adam Towers.
Adam Towers, played by the wonderful
Hugh Dancy.
Hugh Dancy from Hannibal.
Yeah.
I love Hugh Dancy, by
the
way.
Yeah, except...
Except he didn't really have anything to do.
In this one, he's like, oh, well, ooh, I should be
he's
doing
wearing like
this.
A big scarf. I think he's got a bigger scarf than Hannibal Lecter's ego. I'm not for sure.
He looked like Harry Potter.
He
looked like Harry Potter aged.
His character is, he's, because it's important to the plot.
I wrote
whatever that is.
I wrote Harry Potter and the Aging Cougar question mark.
That is this movie here. That's the original title of it. but Hugh Dancy plays a journalist that has uncovered some information about the David Morrissey character.
Yes. Well, he's doing a piece on Tramiel, so
right.
He had to be there for that. On Catherine Tramiel.
Yeah, he uncovers all this stuff that goes on in this small new, I want to say New England, small England town.
Yeah, Old England.
Old England.
And so he's talking with them. You can tell they don't get along very well. And one of the reasons is that Towers is actually dating his Glass's ex-wife. So, because he's divorced, but they were screwing around when they were together, and he is not happy about that. He does not like him. He's done. So, so he basically tells him off. He doesn't want to interview. Doesn't want to talk. So he goes to. I'm trying to go through my notes here. He goes to a party that night, and he goes to like a lecture, and then gets invited to like go to a party,
right?
Where this guy will like look at his latest journal that he's trying to get, or journal article he's trying to get submitted, which is about Catherine Tramiel. there's some other business. He goes and talks to his ex-wife. He finds her at, I think, the library.
Yes.
Her name is Denise.
Some library. I don't know why.
Denise Glass. Or it's like, I don't know where it's at. But it's played by Indira Varma, which for those of you who may or may not know, I mean, she's a very, she's another great, she is another great actress. But she was, I always liked her.
Really?
Yeah, but she was probably most notably in Torchwood.
Torchwood.
Yeah, she was Susie in the pilot
Susie,
of Torchwood.
Right, with the glove?
Yeah, in the pilot
of Torchwood. In the pilot of Torchwood, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But again, like, these are fine British actors.
Yeah.
In this movie that's... I just feel like it's a great cast with a bad script and a not great director.
Agreed. Agreed. So, they go to a party at this German professor's, or German, renowned German psychologist's house.
Geist
is his name?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Jacob Geist, or Gerst, or something like that.
Yeah. And they go with, he's there, glasses there with Dr. Milena Gardosh, who is his friend and colleague, played by Charlotte Rampling.
Yes. I know her from Broadchurch. She's amazing in that. She was just recently nominated for an Academy Award a couple years ago.
Okay.
Yeah. Another great actress.
Yeah. And so he goes to this party with her. They're talking. Gerst comes in. And he's got Catherine with him. Catherine Tramell. And so that puts Michael off. He's like, you know what? Screw this. I can't stay here because I have a patient here. It's inappropriate. Now, during the party, too, he's been kind of making eyes at Michelle. Her name is Michelle Broadwin, who's like a colleague.
Mm-hmm.
He's been kind of flirting with her across the room. So he's going up. He's trying to get his coat. And he's walked up the steps. This place is packed. And, like, Catherine is up there.
Whatever.
She, like, teleported upstairs behind him. And she's like, well, let's go. Let's get out of here. And he's like, nope. He's like, I stick to my rules. I don't fraternize with patients. Get the hell out of here. And so he's trying to take off.
He kind of has this, like, Liam Neeson vibe to him.
He does.
But I call him Liam Neeson.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes on a date, or he takes out Michelle. He says, hey, I was hoping we could both go and that we could get a drink or do whatever. She says, okay. So then we cut to them having sex at his place.
Sure.
And he starts, like, getting violent with it, almost. Not violent, but a little aggressive.
Well, her book, like...
Yeah, and while he's having sex with her, just as kind of vanilla whatever, there's, over on the nightstand is Catherine's book. And it's open so that her picture is facing him. And so he's, like, looking at her picture while he's having sex with Michelle.
Now, I don't remember the author being on the back cover of book jackets. Aren't they normally inside?
No.
Really?
No, not necessarily.
They're not all, like, the whole page of the back of the book jacket.
Not necessarily. Though. Some Jeez. Can be. It just depends how they design
how
it.
How narcissistic. That,
yeah, pretty much. That's about right. But, yeah, it's a huge picture. And
huge.
So he's having sex with her and looking at the picture. And then he takes it a step further and gets kind of aggressive. And while he's having... this aggressive sex with Michelle, the phone rings, and it's Denise, and she's like, oh my God, you know, pick up the phone, please, and she's, so he runs over, picks up the phone, turns out, like, she says, you have to come over, he goes over there, and Adam Towers is dead, so.
It's like a belt.
Yeah, he has a belt. It's almost like, it looks like it was an autoerotic asphyxiation,
right, like,
gone wrong.
Yeah. What's his bucket from
Carradine?
Yeah, well, we have him too, but I was thinking In Excess.
Oh, yeah.
Michael Hutchins.
Yeah. So, but it looks like he strangled himself with his own belt while he's pleasuring himself. And, but while he's there, he sees this little, I don't know what
I
this
I think
thing
that they're lighters.
I thought so, too.
Because she has, like, these lighters that are, like, have British,
they look
like landmarks.
British building. Yeah, British landmarks. And she had one earlier. She lit Dr. Gorish's, or Gardosh's cigarette with like the with Big Ben. And so in Denise's place, he's walking over towards Adam Towers' body, and he steps on the Big Ben lighter. And so he throws it away because he think he that's when he kind of has this conflict about, like, do I leave it there or do I not? Like, it's a woman who I'm kind of getting obsessed with. And so he takes it and throws it in the garbage. And then basically he kind of is suspecting that Tramiel had something to do with this. But while he's kind of milling around, Washburn, Detective Washburn, shows up again.
Washburn.
And so he's going over it and, like, asking him questions like, where were you? What was happening? You know, and he said, oh, he goes, is this your lighter?
He doesn't suspect him, but he knows that he's close with her.
Yeah.
And they can get some information out of her.
Well, I think first he kind of did.
Maybe, in a way.
Because he knows she can manipulate and she can, yes. So he doesn't quite know what's going on.
He's made it his goal to, like, get her after she got off on no pun intended.
Oh, no. Pun intended, because that's how this movie works.
Yes. Sorry.
After she got off
of all charges.
Yes. That's exactly how this... If you can do it more Mae West. After I... got off those charges.
Come up and see me sometime.
Nah. When we can fuck.
Yeah. Like, Mae West saying that would just sound so bizarre. Right?
Yeah, because even Mae West delivered it.
Yeah, whatever. Right?
So, they find out that, okay, well, it turns out that Towers had been writing this hit piece, basically, against Michael Glass.
Yeah, he had, like, a previous client.
Yeah.
That he had some...
Yeah, and so this started coming up. And the thing that sucks is, like, they keep talking about this guy. He had a previous client who had all these, like, issues and, like, and drug addiction
flags,
and stuff.
Some red flags may have popped up.
But he was like, hey,
he could have prevented
confidentiality.
Right.
He could have prevented it, but he didn't. And the guy ended up killing his girlfriend.
Right.
And so he broke down for a while.
Right.
And, like, kind of came back. But he had this breakdown because that was traumatic to him because he felt responsible.
Right. And every time they were talking about this, I just wanted to know more about that.
Yes.
Because that seemed like a better story than the one that we're being told
like
right
you would,
now.
There's not even a place where he, like, sits down and talks and it flashes back or anything.
Right, nothing.
They just give you weird little bits of expository stuff.
Right.
So
she shows up, like, in his office, right? Are we there?
Yeah, I'm sure we are. Yeah. At some point she shows up at his office.
Yeah, right.
Oh yeah, it is. It's the next day.
Yeah.
She shows up and she's got a new lighter. She doesn't have the Big Ben lighter anymore.
It's like the building that they're in.
Yeah. It's actually a lighter of the building you're in. I want those lighters.
I kind of like, yeah, I want those lighters too, but you know, seems kind
of
weird.
If any of our listeners from the UK want to send us lighters that are in the shape of famous landmarks.
Famous landmarks. Or infamous landmarks. Or bad landmarks. I don't care.
Or anyone in the U.S. If you are in a city that is not the city we are currently in.
Yes.
Send us your famous landmark cigarette lighters.
Cigarette lighters. If they make them, you know. I don't smoke, but I do want a Hoover Dam.
It's just in the shape of the Hoover Dam?
Yes.
That it's just the big, clunkiest, fucking awkward lighter there is.
The biggest, clunkiest lighter there is.
It's like in old movies where they have those
Can
lighters.
Can I get that light
like,
for you? Hold on.
You know the old movies where they have the lighters that are like gigantic?
Gigantic?
That's what it will be like.
Yes. Yes. So get on that. So, that's what we want you to do.
So DM us and we'll send your address.
Don't give us 5 stars on iTunes. Do that instead.
Yeah, no, there you go.
But give us 5 stars too.
Yeah, also that. Shameless plug. Anyway, so she shows up, and he's kind of like, did you do this? And she just like ham-fisted alludes to a bunch of things. Almost like it was like OJ. Oh, if
like,
I did it,
it's like okay, she's like she's the femme fatale, but it's more like lame fatale or lemon yeah. fatale.
Yeah,
like it's just terrible.
She's like the femme fatone.
Yeah. Oh, like the Joey Fatone.
Yes.
If Joey Fatone was a femme fatale.
Yeah. Femme fatone.
Yes. That's amazing. I like that.
So she is.
And I don't want any of our listeners to draw that. Because we have some listeners that could really do like.
Or Photoshop it.
Photoshop
or
that.
Nobody Photoshop a femme fatone.
A Joey femme fatone.
God.
Jesus.
Anyway, excuse me. So after she leaves, and he's kind of, they have their game of lame cat and lame mouse.
Lame cat, lame mouse.
Then
he realizes, oh, crap, I'm in this movie.
Yeah.
This movie called 50 Shades of Grey Hair. Is that what we called it?
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
Oh.
My God, that is exactly. 50 Shades of Lame. Washburn, Sergeant or Detective Washburn.
Yeah.
Shows up and he kind of is accusing Michael of, like, were you involved with this? You know, turns out, oh, and she had revealed, Catherine revealed that she was also sleeping with Adam Towers. She was sleeping with him. And Denise was sleeping with him.
Magically, she got into their inner circle.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She's totally up in his business.
Oh, she's totally up in his business. Like she has it out for him.
Oh, yeah. And I think they even, say, they kind of allude to, like, Denise and her were together then, too.
Yeah, kind of, yeah.
Washburn is kind of talking about this, and he's like, well, where were you when all this happened? And he goes...
Unfortunately, he was just sulking in his office, just sitting in a chair, looking outside the window for like 5-10 minutes. That's where he was, right?
No, he was having sex with
Michelle. Oh, that's right. I'm sorry.
Michelle. So, of course, Washburn backs off then.
Who in this movie did not have sex with her?
Not many. And she had also accused, she told Michael that Washburn said that he would let her get away if he could have sex with her.
If all this sounds confusing, folks, it's because it is. Okay?
Yeah, it is like it's attempting to be a noir, but it is so awkward.
In fact, I think we can like speed a little bit of this up, right? The plot... Junk. No, we can't. Damn it.
Plot?
Oh.
Anyway, so at this point, he goes to, Michael goes to talk with Denise, and he finds her at a bar. He's talking with her, and he's like, you know, what was Adam doing? She says that she's a suspect, and she's blaming him. She said, you know, you knew what was going to happen. You were responsible for the interesting story that we don't actually know what it is. You're responsible for that guy killing his girlfriend, and Adam was going to do this, and I was telling him, which I was like, well, isn't that kind of a conflict? Like, it's just, they're just, what a lazy writer.
Oh,
that he's
lazy.
Like, I'm going to write a story about somebody where I don't have to leave the house for it.
Is this before or after the orgy scene?
I don't remember.
Oh, Jesus.
It has to be before the orgy. Okay. This has to be after the orgy.
I love that we're debating.
Yeah.
It could be before or after the orgy. And we're being
anyway,
serious.
There's this bizarre scene where, like, he sees Catherine Tremell walking. Oh, no, it's...
I don't know.
Shit, I don't...
It doesn't matter, you know, because...
I don't know. It's so pointless.
Oh, God.
So he sees Catherine Tremell walking... and he's, like, standing behind a tiny tree.
It's
like
in British Chinatown or something.
Yeah, he follows her into British Chinatown. And he follows her through, like, into this place, which appears to be a brothel.
Yeah.
And there's a, like, he opens a door and there's an Asian woman whipping a guy.
Yeah.
What was her name?
I called her Flogging Molly.
And
solid joke.
So Flogging Molly is yelling at him.
Yeah.
Oi, Gov!
Go, go, go!
You thought I was going to do some sort of racist
one. Clowns. But, sorry, clowns. Release the clowns.
It's fine. They, I'm sure that.
And then she follows him, and
terrible
then, like,
American accent
they,
later.
He goes up on the roof or whatever and peers down, like, into the window.
Well, yeah, he goes all the way to the roof. He can't figure out where she was. Like, he passed her somehow. Like, again, she teleports.
She's so, like, great at teleporting.
She is so, like, agile and nimble that she's, like, sprinting down the hall.
She's amazing.
But he goes up, he's on the roof, and he, like, hears a bunch of sounds, and he walks over, and he looks through the skylight at this orgy that's happening. The same orgy that was, like, the leaked footage before. Except the leaked footage was more graphic than
right.
that.
Oh, I'm sure it was.
Yeah. But then they just see her getting nailed by some guy.
Right. Can I say this? I wrote this. I go, that guy got a stoner. Now, what's a stoner, you ask? A stoner is where you can't get it up because you have a sex scene with Sharon Stone. That's what a stoner is.
That is fair.
Very. A lot of people have stoners in this movie.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Oh, God. Look, some guys are into blondes, and some guys are into killers, Jeremy.
Oh, God. That, folks, is an actual line from this. You know, like,
I'm
some
so confused
guys...
on, like, the plot. Like, where are we even at?
Okay, so the orgy thing just happens somewhere. It just happens.
Just it happens.
Like, it's like a sentence.
Just go with
they're,
it, people.
They're mid-sentence somewhere. An orgy breaks out, and then they finish the sentence they were on. I don't remember where it is. Just put it there.
I remember where it is. It's in... You know,
just her. Put it there. That's what she said. Let's move on.
Okay, so he follows her into the bathroom.
Yeah, so he goes... The ex-wife is upset. She starts crying and bawling at the bar because he's questioning her about her... Her dead lover.
Because he's questioning her.
Have a little tact. We're talking about my career.
Her. And then she's like, oh, Catherine? Oh, me and Catherine go way back.
Yeah. Yeah. She's like, we've known each other forever. We've I don't know why you didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
But then she takes off and, of course, goes
to
a rave.
She takes off.
She goes to a rave.
Yeah. Of course this movie would have to have, like, a club
dance.
That's
what I was like, of course. Here's the scene. So they go to a...
if you're not following along, people, it's fine. Just listen to our banter.
It is awkward. So they go to this rave, and he sees her, and what looks like... It looks like she's with Catherine across the floor. So he's trying to follow them, and he gets through the door where they were. And again, they've teleported somewhere. Except
she's fast.
Except at the end of the hall.
Except when she has sex.
Yeah. But then she has to because her bones aren't strong enough for it anymore. Anyway, the...
Stoner.
Like pushing rope. Anyway, the... So they get to... he gets to the bathroom that opened. Like he sees the door kind of closing. He gets there. And you hear what sounds like sex sounds. And, like, that's bizarre. Like, this is a huge bathroom. It's a ladies' bathroom. Except...
That's the biggest bathroom I've ever seen.
Yeah.
No, seriously.
I've seen bigger bathrooms.
I'm just saying, it was a big bathroom for where they were at.
Yeah, right. But he's... It's this giant bathroom. And it's the ladies' bathroom.
Where are they having this wave at? Like, in a hotel?
It looks like it's in a Grand Central Station.
Yeah.
So at the end of...
Just say.
It is. It's like... It's so a bizarre. Rave, but it looks like... It seriously looks like they're having it at Grand Central Station in Chicago. or at like Union Station, whatever. But at the end of the bathroom, there's a giant picture of a woman bent over
in like
lingerie.
Yeah.
And
why would you want that as a woman? When you walk into the bathroom, why would you want that?
It was awkward. It was weird. We were like, what? And so he's going through door to door trying to figure out where the sex sounds are coming.
Hello? Yeah. Are you having sex in here? I'm just going door to door.
Look, he ends up opening one of the doors, and it's Denise, but her throat has been slashed. They're not sex sounds. It's her just, like, gurgling, apparently. And she's just wandering around in circles in there.
The killer is getting lazy now.
Well, where did the person go? Like, he just went through every fucking stall door, and she's gone, or whoever is gone. And of course, then he's like, oh no, oh no. And he's like trying to put pressure on her throat. And some girls walk in and he's like, call an ambulance. And they're like, holy shit. And he's yelling at them still to call an ambulance. And finally they move. And he, so again, the Washburn is like, hey, what the hell is going on here? And he's like, you know, I don't know. I just came in here. It was this. You know, I thought I saw something. And so he's upset. He
well, he should be. His agent got him Basic Instinct too.
I know, right? But he's still kind of defending Catherine. Like, he won't say anything. And Washburn, it kind of is like, he suspects that she's gotten to him. So he's like, I want to show you something. Let's see. Well, and, oh, hold on. So he's just like, you know, you need to stay away from her. She's messed up. So he, and at this point, he had gone to Tramell. Or Tramell comes in and says, like, basically clears him. And when she clears him, he's like, fine, I'm out. And he takes off. And that's when Washburn's like, hey, be careful with her.
Be careful with her.
So he goes to...
Even a truth are lies.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, why do you know it's a lie? He goes, because everything that comes out of her mouth is a lie. Even the truth are lies. Fantastic writing.
But great writing. Yeah, even the truths are lies. Well, then what's a truth then?
I think he was trying to... I think he was trying to say that, like, everything she says, even the truth, is, like,
she
twisted.
She bends the truth.
Yeah. And so... But it didn't come out like that. No. But,
it didn't come out like that.
Ooh. Ooh. Did you write this script?
I did.
So he goes to talk to her.
I wrote it when I was...
He goes to her place.
When I was 14.
Yeah. He goes to talk to her. And, of course, they end up having sex.
Yeah, at her place.
At her place.
Can I say that every set looks the same in this movie?
It does. It's all just kind of like...
It's very brown. I don't know if that's a British kind of thing. I don't know. I don't want to, you know.
Well, no. It's just... It's all the sets are... It's weird. It's like...
There's a lot of mahogany or something in this movie.
They, all of them are, they're very, like, tall sets, but not very, like, big. Like, they, you can, obviously, they look like sets. You don't ever get to see the bedroom in most of the places, or, like, you only see one room of each place.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so, when, the next day, after he gets up, giggity, he,
pun intended.
Ooh. He goes to the refrigerator.
Pun intended.
I assume to have some Lucky Charms or something.
Pun intended.
And Lucky Charms. So he sees, oh, hey, here's a little vial of some drug that's there. And so he's like, uh-oh, this is bad. It's a tubo, that's a TCB or DTC or whatever.
TCBY.
Yeah.
DCBY. Yogurt, where they put that stuff in yogurt and it makes your muscles.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
DTCBY.
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 DCBY.
DTBO curaring best yogurt.
Yep.
Anyway.
Best yogurt that will knock you out.
So he is like, uh-oh. So he grabs it And he takes the vial to, he takes it up to Washburn and is like, hey, here's drugs. That is not cool. You know, like, I don't know what this is.
And he's like, well, I don't know where you got it from.
So, yeah, he's like, so I don't tell me because I don't want it to.
And doesn't she say something to him like, you can't trust him? What's his bucket was doing an article on him, too.
Well, okay, so when he leaves the bar where he gave him the medicine, the lawyer pulls up.
Oh, the lawyer pulls up.
And it's like, yeah, she wanted me to let you know that Towers is also, or was also doing a story on him, or did a story on him in the past.
I just wanted to try to move the plot along.
Yeah, right. And so we don't know how he finds it. So then he goes to this library.
Towers just has all this information. I know. By the way, this library looked like a jail.
It did. It looked like it was a jail.
Yeah.
And so Michael goes to this place
called Shawshank.
And he's looking through like periodicals. And he finds an article in Urbane magazine that Towers wrote about Detective X, which is like the most corrupt cop. Is this the most corrupt cop in London? And they don't show him, but they allude to the fact that it's him. And so then he's like, oh, is it him? And so he thinks maybe he's doing something. Well, he meets back up with Washburn, who says, hey, here's here's the results. It was DTC. And he goes, well, you know.
It wasn't insulin, like she says?
Yeah, because then she's like, it's insulin. It was my friend's insulin.
I normally keep friend's insulin around.
You know, who knows?
Because maybe they don't need it.
Maybe she had that friend over enough that.
Maybe that was the friend that she brought over to watch Basic Instinct 1.
Yeah.
Yeah, and probably. He went into a diabetic shock.
He's like, oh no.
Oh no.
Oh no.
Oh. Well, do I still have it? I don't know. Where's my insulin?
Well, she insinuates that the DTC that was in the car in the first place was planted by Washburn.
Right.
And so, and this is insulin and all this kind of stuff. So if that was the friend who was supposed to have it, then he was in diabetic shock and she was like pleasuring herself with him. I don't know.
Who knows?
So
don't try to make anything of it.
So, at this point, Michael's questioning whether the report that he has, he's like, no, Washburn, I'm sorry, this is not an official forensics thing. Mm-hmm. He goes, yeah, if it was, then it'd have to be entered into evidence, and it's corrupted.
Yeah, so we can't use it.
Do that. It's so it has to be unofficial. Yeah. And so he was like, well, how do I know anything you're saying is true?
Fine, don't believe me.
And he goes, I want to show you something. And so then he takes him back to Chinatown.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Back into the building where he saw everything before. And Flogging Molly saw him again, but didn't say anything. But they go into where the orgy was happening, and there's a dead guy there. And it is the guy who was having sex with Catherine Tramell in the orgy before. Turns out that is Dickie Pep, the guy who provided her the drugs in the first place.
Oh, so I guess now he doesn't have any step in his pep. Because he's dead.
Pep in his step?
Pep in his step. Is that how? Whatever.
So Tiki Pep is
dead. We're stepping his pep.
And he's like, well, do you know anything about this? Michael kind of like backs away from it. And almost is kind of like, well, how do I know you didn't set this up? And he goes, really? He goes, you think I came in here, strangled this guy in the same way the other guy was strangled with a belt, which incidentally she was doing that to him when right. they were having sex right. Like that's kind of her MO.
I don't know what we watched. We had to like fast forward through that. Well, not because we didn't want to.
Well, it was definitely came back.
It cut out.
Yeah,
our video cut. It,
that's she did the same thing to him with the belt.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Except he's alive. Yeah. So he knows that she's behind it. But he's still back. He's like, so, oh, yeah, like I totally choked this guy with his belt and then jerked him off all over the place so that, you know, it looked like he had sex. Like,
Thulis, come on. Don't be clueless, Thulis.
So he's just like, come on. excuse me. So, he basically is starting to lose his mind. Michael is a little bit. He really can't tell right from wrong or like who's telling the truth anymore. Right. And the police begin to suspect him a little bit of maybe being involved. So, he goes back to, tell Catherine Tramell, where they engage in sex again. They get it on again. At one point during this, like, they go to the hot tub, or she goes, I'm going to go take a jacuzzi.
Yeah, who takes a jacuzzi?
I'm going to take a jacuzzi, which I thought maybe was British slang for dump.
It's not. It's not, right?
Right. No, I assume not. But she gets into an actual jacuzzi. On the
but
roof.
If our friends from Release the Clowns can put that in a sketch,
yeah.
Where the I'm going to release a jacuzzi, isn't that taking a dump in Britain? No, don't do that. But anyway, go ahead.
So she goes to she goes up in the hot tub, and while she's in there and she's kind of like egging him on, he ends up. Like
the big,
shoving
like,
her underwater.
That's the big nude scene that they were talking about.
Yes, that's a big nude scene. And she'd given him like a copy of her book and everything like that.
I think you
the
said,
Analyst.
I don't think that those are bubbles. That's just her gas.
Her gassy yeah. At her age, yeah.
Yeah, I think you were like, that's just
it's from all the Activia and the Boniva and
because
stuff.
Because she's old.
Yeah. So he gives her, she gives him a copy of her book, like a disc that has it on there. And, he attempts to, like, drown her, but he doesn't. She is okay. But then he basically just runs off, and he goes home, and he reads it, and he realizes this book, she's captured, like, most of the recent events with herself and the other people, like Michael and everything like that as characters, just with different names. One part of it, it says that she is going to go kill, this character, another therapist based off of, Melina Gardosh, his other colleague. So Michael runs to Gardosh's apartment to warn her that Tramell's going to kill her because, like, she was warming up to her, too. And so
she was writing a book.
Yeah.
A new book.
Yeah, that she wants.
A voiceover of this new, the new pages of this new book.
Yeah.
He figured it out by reading. Come on.
Yeah. Well, because everything is detailed out. Like, everything corresponds.
Right.
And he figured out who that character was. So he calls Washburn to come and get them. So he heads over there, and he's trying to warn Gardosh. And basically he says, you know what, you're no longer in charge of Catherine's therapy. You slept with her, and you've done these other things. You physically attacked her. They're going to have your license revoked. You know, basically you've violated all these rules, and you violated the law. She's like, but I've talked to that German guy. And he is even, like, against you now. And, but we think that if you go to, like, treatment for, like, 28 days that you could come out, we could say, well, you know, you might be able to salvage your practice. And so he's saying, no, no, she got to you. She's lied. She's done all this stuff. And he struggles with Gardosh. And he knocks her, or because Catherine shows up, and he's like, no, and he starts going after Catherine. Gardosh gets between them. He shoves her out of the way.
Knocks her out.
Yeah, she hits her head on the table and is knocked out. And so he's trying to bring her to. While he turns to do, like, go after Catherine, she puts a gun to his neck. And he ends up struggling with her and gets it away from her. So he's holding the gun on them. When Washburn arrives at the scene, basically she says that Washburn is behind all of this. He's the one who killed your patient's girlfriend because he wanted to put your patient away, and that's the only way he could get him to do that or get that to happen was to kill that and frame him. So all this torment and all these like bad emotions that you've had, that's Washburn did that to you. And so he's so confused and he's so like panicked and looking disheveled. Washburn busts in, and when he does, Michael Glass shoots him a bunch of times.
Ouch.
Yeah. And he kind of like does this slow death where he's just like, don't trust.
You know, I like Thulu. I like him.
Yeah, Thulu's.
Thulu's. But like, that was the worst death scene.
Yeah. Well, he didn't give him much to work with.
Yeah, no, I get it.
And so, but of course, right after that, the cops jump him and arrest him.
Don't trust her at all.
Yeah. So, turns out, they, now you see this, it looks like.
He's gone crazy.
Well, it looks like a university, but it's actually a mental asylum.
Oh, yeah.
Very classy. And he's been institutionalized. So he's sitting like in this wheelchair.
Yeah.
Catherine just strolls on in.
So just when you thought it was over.
Yeah.
You figured everything out yeah. on this nice script.
And so she strolls on in and...
I got a new book.
Yeah, she has her novel. It's ready to go, and she leaves a copy for him. She goes, you read the rough draft. Let me tell you how it really goes. So it turns out, like in her version of the story, what she says, that it turns out, you know, the author in her story manipulated him into actually murdering people, like that the analyst in her story was the one who killed the reporter,
right,
and his ex-wife
and the cop
and the drug dealer.
He was going crazy.
Yeah, and he didn't remember it because he was losing his mind because of his grief over that previous incident. And so, and as she's like, it's a very convincing this, and she's talking to him, and I'm kind of like, wait, are they, it's very confusing.
Oh, very confusing.
Because I'm like, I can't tell if
they're telling us that he did do it, or
yeah,
that she's
or they're
lying.
Saying that she's just blaming it on him, or if she's saying, you really are nuts, and I didn't do any of this.
Right.
You did all of this.
Right.
Like, and I can't tell, I'm like, at the end, I turned to you and said, wait, is she our good guy in the story?
Right.
Like,
I don't understand. Did she not do anything? Or did he do it? Or did she do it? But I don't know.
Yeah.
All things confusing.
Well,
because if she did do it, it's like, oh, you would have to read Urbane Magazine to know all about like the Cop X.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Well, and then she
to
like,
know that to know to manipulate him into that at the end. And all this, and I'm like, come on.
Well, at one point, she's saying that he did all this. You know, here's all the stuff you did. And he kind of looks up like, haha, you figured it. Like, he's playing possum.
Yeah.
Like, he has this, like, real wicked look in his eyes and, like, kind of this smirk that I was like, oh, he's playing. Like, she figured it out, and he was trying to blame it on her. You know, that was his out, and so that's, he was trying to work it. I figured he was going to be like a, so you figured it out, have you?
Figured it out, ha-ha.
But he didn't.
No.
And then all of a sudden, then he was like dopey again, and then it's like they couldn't figure out what they were trying to do, and like his emotions are very confusing.
Mm.
And at the end, when she's like, you know, he opens the book, and it says like, just be kind of, you know,
I couldn't
love
have done
Catherine.
It without you.
I couldn't have done it without you. And he kind of has this, like, half-smirk tremble thing, and I can't tell if he's, like, mad or upset or, you know, he's smirking or
he
what.
He got
it's
away
just
with
so...
murder, or he's mad because he's framed for murder,
or
they don't really tell you.
He's hungry for a pretzel.
Or he's trying to get out of the movie. He's been trying to get out of the movie the whole time.
Or
he's trying to tell the audience, please get me out of this movie.
Or her bangs are like way too short and lopsided.
I don't know, but then it's the credits, right?
Yeah.
And you've been deuced.
You've been deuced.
On Basic Instinct 2.
Oh, good Lord.
And we don't even know what that plot was. So we apologize.
Agreed.
So that's what we thought of it. Let's hear what other people thought of it. This comes from Andy RRR. He gives it an 8 out of 10. He says, go see for yourself. I don't understand why the reviews of this film are so universally bad. Unless I'm just off my rocker, you are, Andy. I found it sick, brilliant, twisted, and psychologically sophisticated. You won't get deeper into the mind of a criminal psychopath in a Hollywood film than this one. It has layers with layers, nuanced acting by Stone, and a plot that will keep you guessing even after it's over. I wouldn't say guessing, just confused. People need to get over the fact that Sharon Stone is 48 and that Michael Douglas isn't in this one. I predict that this film will be a huge hit on DVD once people see it for themselves and stop paying attention to the drivel professional reviewers put out. Give it a shot. You might be glad you
Holy
did.
Holy shit. Is she only 48 in this?
I guess.
Oh, my God.
He's telling us to give it a shot. I'm going to tell you, folks, please don't give it a shot.
Please. I've obviously been watching this movie for too long.
Unless you're a big fan. No, unless you're a Sharon Stone fan or like you're a big fan of the first one.
No. Yeah.
This review comes from RXMNING. Gives it a 1 out of 10. The money used to make this movie could have been donated to charity. Terrible plot, flat acting, horrendous hair and wardrobe, cheesier than an extra cheese pizza. Totally unsexy. Sharon Stone was like a Shih Tzu Muppet with a haircut courtesy of a blind person with Parkinson's disease. Yeah. Okay, that's a little harsh.
That's a
little harsh. Oh, okay. Sharon Stone made sex so unappealing, and wasn't the first one like 14 years ago? Yeah, it was. I was 13 then and totally had the hots for Sharon Stone. Of course, now she's like 50 and desperately trying to look sexy. And somehow people think she still is. I guess the majority has set the standards very, very low. Anyway, the budget for this movie could have went to starving Africans or someone of that nature. Boo hoo.
Okay, first off, fuck you with that. Yes. It could have gone to charity bullshit because just like everything else, it wasn't going to go to charity one way or the other.
Right.
So fuck off with that.
Yes.
I'm sick of that crap.
Yeah.
Anyway, yes, her hair was terrible. I will stand by that. I went, what's with her bangs? That was the first thing I said. It's like her bangs.
That guy didn't need to put the Parkinson's thing in there.
No, that was ridiculous.
A little rude. In my opinion.
That was ridiculous.
Yes.
But it's like, you know, like when a kid cuts their bangs super short, that's what it looked like, except at a weird angle. Anyway. But all things aside, like I made the jokes about Boniva and whatever else, Activia. But I'm sorry. The woman kept in good shape.
She put herself out there in this movie.
And I saw her in Catwoman. She was in good shape in that movie, too.
Yeah, right.
And as far as I can tell, she seemed as in fine a shape as Halle Berry.
Sure.
But, you know, it's like, you know, I think the thing that makes it tremendously unsexy is, like, she's not very seductive about it.
No, I think what doesn't make it sexy is the fact that it's so blunt.
Yeah.
And it's not like we were talking about before.
Yeah.
So, you ready for our 5 questions?
Yeah.
I do believe so. Let's do it.
Okay, what was your favorite part of the movie?
I'm going to be honest with you. My favorite part of the movie were the supporting actors in this movie.
Yeah.
Again, like I said before, these actors are, they've done projects that are really, really, really good.
Yeah.
And I would suggest going and finding those projects. Go watch Hannibal. Go watch the Red Riding trilogy. Go watch Broadchurch. Yep. Go watch these other movies from these or other shows from these wonderful British actors. Thulis, I actually kind of enjoyed his kind of schmarmy, kind of fun character. Yep. Is he bad? Is he not bad?
Well, it reminded me of Valda from Fargo, but not so like, oh my God, dial it back.
Right. Like, yeah. Yes. And so I believe that I've enjoyed David Morrissey in other things.
Mm-hmm.
This was not one of them.
Right.
So
there was So there's one scene with Sharon Stone and David Morrissey that I actually enjoyed. And it was like the first time she comes for therapy, and she's kind of like, I thought therapy would be fun, blah, 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 like kind of her act still. And then she has this moment where she actually says something like, I've never had anybody really kind of look at me and say these things and like me understand. I don't know if it was her, it's supposed to be an act or whatever it was, but it almost seemed like it was the first bit of genuineness that you got from Catherine Tremell. And he was like, oh, and like his acting kind of met Sharon Stone's acting there. And for just this brief half scene, it was great. And I was like, I wish the whole movie would have had that like kind of chemistry.
So you're saying that half scene was your favorite part of the movie?
Well, it's one of mine.
Okay.
I think for the most part, I really, like you, the supporting characters.
Yeah, even though they weren't fleshed out great.
Yeah.
They did the best of what they were given.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And I didn't care for Sharon Stone or Morrissey's or David Morrissey's like acting through most of it.
Pouty.
Well, like, okay, like when even when David Morrissey, like at the end when the cops arrest him and he goes, and like the I turned and I said, oh my God, it's like the no from Star Wars. No. Yeah. Like it was this very awkward scream that seemed really fake.
Sure.
But even like with those two, I know those two can do good acting.
I know that they both
have it in
him
them.
Can do better than what they
can both act well.
Yeah.
And it's just there was no chemistry. There was nothing behind it except for that one scene. I felt like, oh, my God, they're hitting their stride. Maybe it's going to be, you know, amazing from here on out. And then that was
the only
scene they
connected. Do you think it suffered through the script, or do you think someone else should have played that part instead of David Morrissey? Well, that's not a big name. I mean,
no, I'm fine with, like, I've seen him in other things that I was fine with. I think they could have both done that. I think that it suffered from the script. And even if the script was bad, the director should have been able to step in here and be like, okay, like let's try this differently or let's do something.
Right.
I just feel like
you can deliver lines different than
I mean the actors acted the stuff and it wasn't great. So it's some of the faults on them, but also like the director should be there to make sure that they're where they need to be.
Mm-hmm.
And like the script itself was just awful. So it's like
moving on to question two.
Question two. And I was so far off tangent that I closed my notebook. Reboot, continue, or cancel?
Done.
Cancel.
Cancel.
Yeah. I agree with you there. Although you had mentioned she wanted to make a third one.
She wanted to make a third one without her in it, and she wanted to direct it.
It'll have Mila Kunis, and it'll be called Basic Instinct 3 All-American Girl.
Oh, no. Leave it alone. Leave it alone.
Yeah, just cancel it.
No.
Do you think it stands on its own?
No. There's a scene in there where they talk about, I don't think it does.
I think it does.
To a point, it does.
Yeah, because the story doesn't rely heavily on Nick's character from the first movie.
Yeah, but they do talk about it, I think, to kind of bring more of the pressure of is she good or is she bad kind of thing.
Although I will say, the way they do that, like, it wasn't just, like, drop a name. She's like, there's this guy, you know, blah, 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 and it kind of talks about, like, what happened, but we don't find out what happened to Nick.
Yeah.
And it was almost very much like...
I say for the most part it does, but there is...
For the most part it does.
A little bit that doesn't.
Yeah, like...
Get the undertone of...
I hadn't seen the first one, all that stuff, I would just think it was backstory for her that, like... Just like how him We don't know his fucking,
yeah, that's true.
You know, the killer thing.
That we wouldn't, I want to know more about.
We would be on equal footing with her. We know just as an awkward amount of information about her as we would him.
Yeah, this just felt like very cheap Cinemax kind of.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Does this make you want to watch the first one?
No.
Hell no.
No.
Nope.
No. In fact, I'm going to be honest with you. Never seen the first one.
I think
people have seen that scene over and over again. That people just think they've seen this movie
with Newman, with the leg crossing.
Yes,
scene?
Yeah. The leg with Newman because Newman from Seinfeld. Yeah. Is that what we're talking about? Is he in that?
Yeah.
Again, never seen this movie.
Dennis Nedry.
Oh yeah, because he goes. Yeah. Ooh. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I have no desire to watch it. These aren't movies that I don't know. Erotic thrillers aren't what I go to.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know?
Yeah.
I know, you know, but yeah. I don't know. If they redid this movie, it'd be stupid. And they would have Katherine Heigl. Some crap like that. Yeah.
Ew.
I made it even worse for you. Sorry.
Terrible.
Yep. You're welcome.
okay. Sum your experience up in two words.
Oh, basic instinct.
Basic instinct?
Stink. Yeah, like it smells.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is instinct a word?
Yeah. I made it up. Yeah, stink. Basic stink, then.
Basic in sync, like the band.
and go ahead. If no one make that drawing for us or that Photoshop.
True, of the femme fatone.
Of femme fatone. Femme Joey Fatone.
God.
What are your two words then?
Now I feel bad. I was teasing you about
made
your
fun of me.
Busted instinct.
Make fun of me. At least mine kind of made though. Sense. Busted. What?
Busted. Like broken.
Oh, whatever. I just thought basic because it was like it needed more than what it was. It's like they tried too hard to be all like, look at this surprise ending.
Yeah, they did. It was, it's like they were trying.
Hurt
they,
my head.
It feels like the writers were like, guys, how the shit do I write a noir? And they're like, I don't know. Like, they do this stuff and there's always a twist.
No, I felt like.
Yeah, you got it.
I felt like it was like, it was seriously like, I don't know. Watch The Postman Always Rings Twice, but watch the Jessica Lange version.
Yeah.
Don't watch the original.
No, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's how it felt like. Watch Body Heat, but make it really bad. Okay.
It just misses the mark so much.
Oh,
like,
everything about it.
Like, they should have backed off of this when they read it and been like, oh, God. Like, I can't imagine reading the script.
I apologize for doing this series of April's The Cruelest
Month. This is painful.
This is painful. So painful enough that we are going to do our next episode is Son of Mask.
Oh.
Yeah. We actually were challenged to do this movie, and we might possibly have a special guest to talk about the Son of Mask with us.
We very well may.
Who knows? We might. So look forward to that. But again, we are a proud member of the No Phony Podcast Network.
Right? We aren't. So for those of you who haven't heard recently, so we did join the No Phony Podcast Network, who has picked up some new guests or new podcasts in recent days. So, you know, definitely go check them out. You can find it at nophonynetwork.com. So they'll have a lot of things there. I think it's this month, the featured podcast, I believe, is the Bats and Balls podcast.
Oh, Bats and Balls. Or is like Sharon Stone likes to say, Bats and Balls.
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 And by bat, I mean penis.
And by balls, I mean balls.
But no, the Bats and Balls podcast, so I checked them out.
Yeah.
Checked
them out.
They do a lot with sports, of course, but they go into like kind of the international realm.
Oh, that's nice.
As far as sports goes. So it talks about things that you don't normally hear, at least here in the States, that we don't normally get to really hear and enjoy or understand.
So do you think their favorite show was Sports Night? their favorite Aaron Sorkin show is Sports.
Favorite Aaron Sorkin show?
I'll
that
ask
could
him.
Be because we could ask them.
I'm gonna ask them.
Yeah, but if you go to nophonynetwork.com, you know, go check them out. So they have some others that recently joined there. So the Friends Zone podcast, which talks about, they go back and they watch the show Friends.
It's another British,
and look at it through
podcast.
Yep, just like Release the Clowns, also Friends. British.
Also, my other podcast.
Yeah,
I do
ABC D bags.
ABC D bags
that Brad and Tony B do.
Tony B, yeah.
And then just yesterday, the Press Continue podcast.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Which is a video gaming podcast.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where they talk, they go back to
the
old video games. Their tagline is, oh gosh, what was it? It's we are where the gaming never ends as long as you press continue.
Oh.
I told them that, and I was like, that is a badass tagline.
I don't know. Our tagline of dropping the deuce is pretty good.
So. Yeah. Although they said that they were going to say, get your PCP fix, press continue podcast. Get your PCP fix weekly. And they were like, yeah, no, let's go back to the other one.
It might not be. That is funny.
Yeah.
So,
but no, they're really cool. So they have a, I think they just did like Double Dribble or something like that too. So, but there's all sorts of great shows out there. Go check them out. You can find us at nophonynetwork.com. You can find us on, Stitcher, Google Play, iTunes. If you go to iTunes, make sure to rate us and, give us 5 stars and leave us a good note. Mm-hmm.
And again, please do not Photoshop a Joey Fatale.
Femme Fatone.
Femme Fatone. That's what
Femme
we're calling
Fatone.
It. Please do not do that, but please send us lighters from...
That are in the shapes of monuments.
A monument, whatever.
Yeah. But also, if you go to the deucepodcast.podbean.com, you can download and find our newest episodes there. And if you do happen to make a Femme Fatone picture, you can definitely post that on our Facebook page.
But do not do that.
Yeah, but don't do that. But if you did, you could post it on our Facebook page.
You would be my hero, but don't do that.
Or you could tweet us at Deuce Podcast.
All right. I think we got all that situated. So you can find us wherever you put your podcasts.
Yes.
Or wherever you can stalk your exes, as my friend Jim from Tom and Jim's Top 5, from what they say. So I guess we're going to leave it at that. So Basic Instinct 2 has been dropped. So remember, folks, the sequel is king.